magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. Let's see, T-minus 1, 2, 3 days in the Prime Life Times. The September edition is going to be available.
Moving right along.
So we finished all those proofs last week, reviewed, re-reviewed, made suggestions, recommendations, tightened up some things, worked it all through. And so we'll have another edition. It'll be the 11th straight month. So our 1-year anniversary will be... Was this 10? No. Yeah, we have 11 editions.
What you trying to say?
So, our 1-year anniversary, but is it 1 year that it'll actually be the...
Well, that's coming up, the year that
edition.
We actually got it.
Yeah.
Month and a half was,
October, right?
Yeah, our first edition was actually November.
Okay.
Yeah, I helped on the October. I mean, I helped back and forth.
Okay, so next month, when it's actually September, we're working on October.
Yeah.
So we still have... Seems like we have... 10 editions up there already, though.
You know what we should do? Is make a list of the dates when we got it, when we started working on it, when our first edition was, so we have that historical record.
Well, and we're coming up on our third year here.
I know.
I mean, that's just crazy.
I don't even know what to think. Third year?
We started in September. And
you know what we're getting ready to do right now is sit here and try and figure things out while people are...
Huey, who's our calling people to tell us what's going
on? Roger, Huey, lots of people.
Yeah, Roger, all of us, Huey,
so
Khalid.
We have been here 3 years?
Well, we'll
we're coming up
entering
on
into our third year.
Okay.
Because I had to pay another...
Boy, time flies.
...mortgage, another lease agreement, sign off on, pay.
Yeah.
And so we got great arrangements here, but we pay a year in advance. So, yeah, that third payment got made.
Wow. Well, praise God you had the money.
Thank you, God, for the donors and those of you that participate in this radio ministry. We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah.
And so we appreciate your financial help and being 100% listener supported. It is because of you we get to have these broadcasts, have the newspaper, have the singing men, have the various activities and events that are God honoring that hopefully help you on your faith journey and fortify you as you reach out to God and he maybe answers prayer or enlightens your mind or brings conviction through the broadcast, through the ministry of music, through something you read in the Prime Life Times. So,
I've been kind of looking forward to this next season of The Singing Men. I'm not sure why. I just feel like it's going to be really good.
Yeah, we're launching that. It'll be 2 weeks. In fact, I think we're going to be singing the national anthem. Is it a baseball or... basketball. I know we do baseball, basketball, women's volleyball, men's basketball, men and women's, hockey.
Wow.
We did tennis. And
really?
Gymnastics. They asked us. We couldn't work that out. But, we do the national anthem and a lot of the...
That's pretty cool.
Who knows? Maybe we'll be asked to lead the national anthem over at IU or some of the other...
That'd be great.
...universities or colleges around the area.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We do a real good national anthem. But the Singing Men are launched a couple weeks away.
September something?
Yeah, Labor Day's the 3rd, so it'll be the 10th. So a couple weeks away.
That page wrestling is Mark turning calendar pages looking.
Yeah, the 10th. So, men, if you have a desire to join us and sing and declare the wonders of God, we meet here currently at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. We're still talking about maybe going back to the First Baptist Church of Champaign and Savoy for convenience sake. And there's a Monday night church service next door, and they get going at 8:30 where it gets so loud that it does affect our rehearsals. So, I'm still trying to work on meeting up with staff at First Baptist to see if we can, again, have our rehearsals there. We'll see.
A little quieter.
Okay. We're chapter 13 in Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. It's called Mission Boxes. It's the 13th chapter. So I can imagine this is probably when your eyes would light up because something's being delivered to your mission station.
No. We went and got it. Miles away from the little post office place in Vaquita.
That's right. In the truck, well fueled.
When you said being delivered, I'm like, I have no memory of that. What's he talking about?
Yeah, no UPS drivers making it out to those back roads.
No, very few drivers at all.
All right.
So we're going to read?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, we might even get 2 chapters in today.
Okay.
We'll see.
Chapter 13, Mission Boxes. I broke my right arm.
Yeah, what a great way to start. Yeah, okay. I broke my right arm.
Happy days. Yeah. Big days. I broke my right arm and simultaneously sprained the left one when I was 10. The reason for this had to do with a pair of ancient, partly rusted, nearly unusable metal roller skates someone had sent to us in a, quote, mission box. Mm. They were very old, very used. I was trying to teach myself to skate with them on the only outdoor piece of cement behind our house. Naturally, I fell, partly because I knew nothing about roller skates and also because there was something wrong with one of the wheels.
Lest I digress, but I will digress.
Okay, join in.
And I think you and I have talked about this in the past, but it's sad that many times people will take their overly used things or their worn-out clothing, basically, oftentimes their junk, mm-hmm. and donate it to the mission or you know, take it to places. And it's like, give them your good stuff. Buy them new stuff. Give them the best, not the worst. And here's an example
that.
They gave you, something that was overused, rusted, and a consequence. Was you
broke my arm and sprained my left. You're exactly right. My father stood in the middle of our yard, turning over in his hand the pair of miserable skates, examining them, shaking his head in silence, a strange look in his eyes. And yet, I'm acutely aware that my words risk sounding ungrateful to many ears. People will start in with stories of, quote, making do. We did a great deal of making do on the mission field and didn't mind doing so. I have a very strong appreciation of the real value of making do and of the character it can form. I also know another reality, that when we give other people and their children things we wouldn't dare use ourselves, things that are dangerous, like chipped drinking glasses or lawnmowers that smoke, then we are running a risk of not caring from our heart about the people we claim we're helping. When people are in a famine, yes, they will eat anything, including dirt. We would too. But if we have the means to give them a bowl of healthy oatmeal or even sin, just the grain itself, it's much more caring than saying, maybe we could ship more dirt across the ocean to them. They appear to be eating it. What a strange way to think. Occasionally, we would receive boxes of torn clothes, dirty shoes, coats — I have no idea why someone would send a heavy winter coat to the subtropics — and other nearly unusable old items. I also have no idea why anyone would have wanted to spend money on the shipping. I think the scripture in Luke 6:38 was lost to those individuals. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Mm-hmm. Personally, I find this to be one of the most scary and thought-provoking scriptures in the Bible. A scripture worth long, long thought.
Read that one again.
Luke 6:38 was lost to those individuals. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Personally, I find this to be one of the most scary and thought-provoking scriptures in the Bible. A scripture worth long, long thought. There's another side to this mission box story. We also received amazing boxes mailed from individuals who'd taken time to either investigate the actual place we were or to write to ask what our needs were. People who sent items that we could purchase nowhere. I remember my mother's ecstatic delight when someone sent us some boxes of Jell-O. We had a refrigerator that ran off of kerosene at that time, so we could actually make the Jell-O. And good clothes, sometimes not new and maybe not this year's fashion, but we didn't care at all about that because they were in such usable shape, clean and mended. It was a delight to open those boxes. It was truly a godsend when people took the time and energy to pack helpful items. Some sent new things they had found on sale, bought especially to just be kind and helpful. And then there were the people who showered us with hundreds of beautiful clothes to simply give away to help the people around us. Their generosity was outstanding. Beautiful things to help so many that had so little. Bless them, even today. I bless them
I think why this is being brought home to me, I was near Culver's. What's that? It's where you can drop off a lot of...
Goodwill?
Yeah, Goodwill. Okay. It's in that big, kind of like a warehouse. Yeah. It used to be maybe a flooring store or something in the corner. And actually, I ate at Culver's, and I was sitting in the parking lot eating because I'm trying to slow down instead of driving and eating all the time. So I just sat there in the parking lot for about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, that's funny.
But I was watching stuff that was being brought there, and I remember seeing something. They had put it on one of these roller carts, and it was a file cabinet, but the handle was broken and it was bent. And I was like, you know, they're just bringing junk. And then there was some other junky stuff, and I was watching that there was this big, humongous garbage, one of those garbage
canister things.
Yeah, where the truck would pull up and take the whole
canister
thing away.
Yeah, the garbage
canister. And I think it might even compact what's even put in it.
Okay.
But I was thinking they probably have received so much junk that they just throw stuff in there all the time.
Goodness.
You know, people drop it off. So I was just thinking about, you know, we don't want to just take our junk. Just throw it out if it's junky, or give it to someone that can use it. But don't just take it there. You know, people drop off old busted TVs. And it's like, pay to have it picked up or take it to one of those places where they say, bring your electronics for free or your refrigerators.
Right.
I think
or get
Ameron
it repaired
or everyone.
Take it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, gee. Okay. Back to my skating injury. I was dutifully sent down to the hospital to have my aching arms examined. The medical staff was extremely busy that day, so I sat on a little stool with one of the nurses in the center of the tuberculosis ward while she put the cast on. I can still see the black metal beds lined up in rows, the hot afternoon sun glinting off the hospital windows with the many tuberculosis patients lying flat on their backs in the beds in the sweltering heat. In our part of Africa, tuberculosis was definitely not a thing of the past. My broken arm got well, of course, and it turned into just another of the many scrapes and bruises of childhood. The old, outdated, damaged skates were thrown away, as they should have been in the first place. But the message I learned stayed with me. When I give to others, I'm deciding what will be given to me. Is that what the scripture in Luke 6:38 means? It must be what it means. And I'm guessing it's not just the thing or the item I'm giving to others that is important, but the spirit and generosity in which I give it. Is that what the scripture means? If someone knows that it means anything different, please let me know, because it's the only way I know to read it. Give. And it will be given to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Scary. Father, create in me a giving heart. Don't let me turn a blind eye on the needs around me or around the world. The condition of my neighbor's car, the yard they can no longer keep up, or the thousands of children, mothers and families around the world who do not have their basic needs met. How exactly am I going to face you if I don't help? I pray that I will never get lost in subjects of economics or nationalism or politics or any vain reasonings, but will only believe your word. I wonder if you will even care about mine or any other culture's excuses. Your word says that what I do in this area of giving impacts me personally. Oh, help me, Father.
Mission Boxes, Chapter 13, Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center. Little point of conviction for some of you, for me, for sure. Very nice chapter. Mary Ann Simpkins is the author.
Thank you.
Our editor-in-chief, our director of creative services, life coach.
I better get back to work right now.
All right, can we fit in another chapter, My Teacher?
Okay, let's try.
All right.
Thank you, Mark. Chapter 14, My Teacher. Why would a beautiful 30-year-old single woman choose to leave everything, including a successful teaching career, and come to teach 8 young American children in the middle of the African bush country? The only answer that I ever heard was the one that she herself gave. that she felt led by God to do so. I'm not certain that anyone else could quite understand, unless it was the unmarried nurses also present at our station.
And this is a love story, right? This
yeah.
is this. I remember this from a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
This is a good one. Stay with us.
They had done the exact same thing. But the answer sufficed for the teacher. Before leaving America, she faced a number of people who argued that she was throwing her life away and that she would probably never marry, since she would be stuck out in such a remote wilderness for years. They warned her of the terrible loneliness she would experience. All of their words seemed to roll off of her. She was one of the most beautiful people I had seen. With glossy, dark brown hair, she wore short and wavy and gorgeous brown eyes with a cheerful glint. She was indefatigable, with a smile that lit up the room every morning. She was my teacher, and she had a gift, the ability to teach with almost nothing at hand. Whatever textbooks we had, they were not new, though she made sure they were good. I think she must have brought some of them with her, but I never actually knew. We learned about ancient Egyptian culture by gathering the African dirt, mixing it with water, and making hand-formed pottery. Then we painted symbols on the sides to learn how hieroglyphics would have looked. We made all sorts of what we termed Egyptian objects for that unit. We were certainly surrounded with plenty of dirt for our creations. And as we molded our pottery, she talked of pharaohs and the Nile. We had one globe in our classroom, and we slowly worked our way through many of the countries on it. We learned math with one textbook and lots of paper. She simply sat at our table with us and gave us the sums and over worked with us until we got them. For the years I was at the station, I was the constant in the classroom. While I was there, two families and their children, who had been living at the mission for some time, moved to other parts of Zimbabwe, and one family returned to America. One of the families went to Fort Victoria and started a printing press. They printed songbooks in Shona and a large variety of other highly useful materials. There was the additional fact that some of the missionaries eventually sent their children to boarding schools in one of the cities. I remained in the mission school. For a few months, two of my fellow students were boys who had greatly enjoyed terrifying me with an enormous scorpion they had captured, huge and black, on my first day at the mission station. They had been waiting on the stone terrace, extremely pleased with themselves, on that first afternoon at the welcoming gathering. They had saved the scorpion, the most massive they had ever found, just for me.
Just for me.
For you, they had said, as they put it up close to me, large pincers moving. I think it was a major contributor to my night of tears. But we were long past that. Our teacher taught all the grades. She taught nearly all the subjects. She took over much of the teaching others had been doing to free up more of their time. We ranged from first grade to seventh. She taught on a screened-in veranda or porch that served as our school room. We were on a solid schedule every morning without fail. In her one-room schoolhouse, or school porch, she sat at one end of the long wooden table that served as our communal desk. As adventure after adventure rolled over our little classroom, she maintained her happy and energetic stance toward life. And then a day came when something highly unusual occurred. Most unexpectedly, a native of New Zealand, a former member of the Royal New Zealand Navy, strode onto our mission station. I never heard how it was exactly that he came to decide to visit our mission at just that time, but there he was. Our outpost station itself had originally been founded by Christians from New Zealand, so perhaps that is why he gravitated toward what had been the New Zealand missions. He had gone to university in South Africa and then later worked in the education field, mostly in the New Zealand established mission areas in the north of Zimbabwe. But there he was, this movie star, handsome man, walking onto our mission station and into all of our lives. But then, you know how this story goes. He kept coming back. And a year later, he and my teacher were married. our very own version of a fairy tale romance with two most memorable characters, which easily outdid any Hollywood couple for their sheer star power. No one in their right mind would have dared attempt to coordinate these two strangers meeting on that remote plot of ground in the bush country of Africa, he from one continent and she from another. We couldn't even guarantee from time to time how long it would take us to travel the dirt roads or to make it through the rivers, much less plan anything so amazing. A fiction author would not have dared put it in a book. No one would have bought the storyline. But it happened. It was a big lesson to me that following what you perceive to be God's leading in faith and keeping a positive stance on life can lead to rather startling life events. I never forgot that. But to me, she remained my teacher. I hope for all of us that someone, somewhere, looks back and says that we taught them well. Because the truth remains, we do teach the people around us, for better or worse, day in and day out, for good or bad, whether we want to or not. We teach them by our lives and by our actions, by our faith or the lack of it. For me, in addition to the school knowledge, I learned the simple yet profound lesson that a girl can follow God's leading for her life and also greet each day, even out in the middle of the bush country, with a gigantic smile and a gleam in her eye. Thank you, God, that your work in our life is not dependent on our calculations and clever planning. It's only dependent on our following you and doing whatever it is you've led us to do at any given moment. I thank you for that wonderful fact. Thank you that it is always easier to just let you have the reins.
Oh, wow. So much could be said about that story and how God can work. And like the friend said this, and you'll never get married. You'll never meet anyone. And and then the mission boxes, life lessons learned about being generous and giving the best and it in God's name. Mission boxes, my teacher, a couple chapters here in Memories of an African Son, available at the Great News Radio Center or online, written by Mary Ann Simpkins. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mary Ann Simpkins, the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless.